World Report with Brandon House.
An exceptionally fit Olympic swimmer, Genevieve Florence, remembers having a sense of dread the moment she received her first Pfizer COVID injection. What happened afterward can only be described as tragic. Genevieve will share her story in an on-camera interview that you will not want to miss. Also tonight on the Worldview Report, another country, Australia, says enough is enough with the boosters, at least for people under the age of 30. Joe Biden lowers expectations for a national abortion law following the news that the Republicans will take over the House of Representatives by a slim margin. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri says it's time to, quote, bury, end quote, the Republican Party. And a lawsuit accuses corporate America of discriminating against pregnant female employees who actually want to give birth to their child. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brandon House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brandon House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. I'm your host, Brandon House. Olympic athlete and British actress Genevieve Florence trained 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, as a synchronized swimmer. However, after receiving her first Pfizer so-called vaccine injection during the summer of 2021, the healthy, thriving 24-year-old became unable to function or care for herself. The painful side effects, well, they grew so excruciating, she began to contemplate whether she should end her life. That's what the Rare Foundation reports. Florence's decision to receive the controversial vaccine was due to the film industry's mandatory requirement to work. Florence appears in the documentary Safe and Effective, subtitled A Second Opinion, and she states, quote, I immediately regretted it soon as she put it in my arm. I just thought, well, what have I done? I couldn't do anything, end quote, she explains. In the weeks after the shot, her health, well, it continued to deteriorate. She lived with a constant pounding headache and dizziness. She could not walk. Quote, it was like someone was actually inside my skull, like pushing out. I can't explain how awful it was. And I was dizzy. I was literally crawling, end quote. She said her pain and despair got so intense that, quote, I really thought my life was over. I couldn't even cook food. I couldn't even get up. I couldn't take care of myself. My mother came twice a week to change my bed sheets, do a food shop for me, and clean my house. I couldn't do anything at all, end quote. Take a look at her heart-wrenching story.
We're at Portales Bays with Experience Mallorca, and we're about to jump off this cliff.
I used to be in the Olympic team for synchronized swimming. I used to train 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. Incredibly hyperactive. I was also always known as the person that was like running around set, doing stupid things, backflips when I shouldn't be doing them and stuff like that. I'd go out and party and dance with my friends, and then I'd be back home at 7 a.m. and then shooting a commercial at 10 a.m. So really pushing my limits. The industry required me to be double vaccinated to work on films, and I immediately regretted it. As soon as she put it in my arm, I just thought, what have I done? Over that period of 2 weeks, I just got worse and worse and worse and worse, and eventually this awful headache that was like someone was actually inside my skull, like pushing out. I can't explain how awful it was, and I was dizzy. I was literally crawling. Like, I really thought my life was over. Because I couldn't even cook for myself. I couldn't even stand up. I couldn't care for myself. My mum would come and see me, I think like twice a week, to change my bed sheets for me, do a food shop for me, clean my house for me. I just couldn't do anything at all. But I just thought, this isn't living. If my mess of my life is going to be like this, and then I would rather not be here. But it was in the sense of desperation for help. And I wouldn't have had those feelings. And my mind wouldn't have gone there if someone had just said, I see you, I'm going to help you.
Those who were in perfect health before their vaccine have encountered too much ignorance and scepticism when seeking medical help. For some, their GPs have refused to engage, and that has reached the extent that they are made to feel gaslighted, Madam Deputy Speaker, with their physical pain being dismissed or explained away as mental illness. How insulting and humiliating is that, and how at odds with the principles of the National Health Service?
It was the most terrifying experience to be told that what's going on with you is psychological and that it's not physical when you're in physical pain. I did a series of oxygen therapy treatments with Janie at the wellness lab. I'd come into the oxygen therapy and I'd have a migraine and I'd leave without one and feeling like so much better. I'm very fortunate in the fact that I'm 70% recovered. I'm back working, just pacing myself. But there's no such thing as autopilot. There's no such thing as easy.
One shot, ladies and gentlemen. One shot. That's all it took to upend this young lady's life. And kudos to her, by the way, for not only working through that catastrophic decision and not giving up on herself, but now for speaking out with a word of warning to others about these toxic, experimental mRNA so-called vaccines. And thank you to the Rare Foundation for helping to get out her story. Joe Biden acknowledged Monday that the next Congress would not have enough votes to codify a so-called right to abortion on demand in federal law, implicitly expressing regret for having teased the possibility before last week's midterm elections. Biden said at a press conference, as reported by Fox News, quote, "I don't think Americans can expect much of anything regarding abortion other than we're going to maintain our positions. I'm not getting into more questions. I shouldn't have even answered your question," end quote. He added that, quote, "I don't think there's enough votes to codify unless something happens that is unusual in the House. I think we're going to get very close in the House, but I don't think we're going to make it," end quote. Well, Biden had previously declared that if Democrats kept the House of Representatives and expanded their Senate majority, quote, "The first bill I will send to the Congress will be to codify Roe v. Wade," end quote, which, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned in June, restoring states' ability to decide their own abortion laws. Instead, Republicans are projected to narrowly retake the House while Democrats keep the Senate. And a pending runoff in Georgia will decide whether Democrats gain a seat or maintain their current 50-50 tie. For years, the promoters of climate hysteria contended it was, quote, "settled science," end quote, that humans are the primary cause of climate change. More than 97% of climate scientists agree with that theory, they say. But is that really true? LifeSite News reports that Farley Dickinson University recently published a survey of top-level climate scientists and found that just over 5 in 10 attributed the human contribution to be at least 75% responsible for recent climate change. Only around 4 in 10 scientists, believed that the frequency and severity of extreme weather events had increased significantly in recent years. So as you can see from this graph, there is clearly not 99% support for humans causing all or most climate change. And it should not be a surprise that there is considerable support for the unproven hypothesis, since skeptical science in this field does not attract money, prestige, and coveted academic post. In other words, follow the money. Emeritus Professor Richard Lindzen recently called the current climate narrative, quote, "absurd," end quote. Perhaps he added, it was the trillions of dollars diverted to green projects and the relentless propaganda from grant-dependent academics and agenda-driven journalists that had persuaded people It is not absurd. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley says it's time to bury the Republican Party and, quote, build something new, end quote. Although Republicans had a good chance of capturing the Senate, they will end up losing a seat following defeats in Arizona and Nevada, with a runoff in Georgia to follow next month. The Republicans are also only set to win the House with a slim majority, far from the relatively easy win predicted, as giddy predictions of a red wave fell flat. Senator Hawley reacted to the outcome by calling for massive reform. Quote, the old party is dead. Time to bury it. Build something new, end quote. That's what he tweeted over the weekend in response to Republican Adam Laxalt losing the Nevada Senate race to Democrat Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. Hawley's demand for changes, well, it arrives after he indicated he would not support Senator Mitch McConnell for Senate GOP leadership. Quote, I don't imagine I will. No, end quote, Hawley said, adding, quote, I'm not sure if any other senator will run or not. Nobody's indicated they would, but my view is that we need new leadership in that position, end quote. Senator Josh Hawley has been vocal on a number of issues that the Republican establishment has largely ignored, including breaking up big tech, calling for the U.S. to withdraw from the World Trade Organization, and creating tax credits for working-class families. Well, maybe he should run, right? Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson charged Joe Biden with being, quote, highly compromised, end quote, by his family's past ties to Chinese business dealings ahead of FBI Director Christopher Wray's scheduled testimony to a Senate committee this week. The Wisconsin Republican and ranking member of the Senate Homeland Security Committee said on Fox News Sunday morning that he plans to press Wray on the Justice Department probe into Biden's son, Hunter, when he testifies to the panel. Johnson stated, quote, it's obvious that President Biden is highly compromised because of Hunter Biden's money influence peddling. The FBI has known about this probably going back to 2014, 2015, when you had prosecutions or investigations of Devin Archer, Hunter Biden's business partner. This corruption has been going back quite a few years. It needs to be fully exposed, end quote. His remarks came one day before Biden's scheduled Monday meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping at the G20 summit in Indonesia, where he's expected to bring up a host of foreign policy issues with the foreign adversary. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and in light of the recent events, your continued support means everything to myself and my employees. To thank you, we're having the biggest sale ever on all my pillow bedding. Get my pillow bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98. In this economy, instead of buying a new bed, rejuvenate your bed with a my pillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. We also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles, like plush, waffle, or gossamer, for as low as $29.98. We even have pet blankets from small size to the ones for your car. Get huge discounts on duvets, quilts, down comforters, and so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call that number on your screen. Use your promo code and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding, including MyPillow bed sheets, for as low as $29.98. Get all your shopping in while quantities last. Please order now.
Welcome back. The U.S. men's soccer team has decided to go rainbow gay for the World Cup tournament in Qatar. According to the Daily Mail, quote, the United States men's national team have made a huge statement at the World Cup in Qatar by redesigning their crest to incorporate the rainbow flag in a bid to show solidarity with the LGBTQ plus community, end quote. The tournament, which starts on Sunday and sees the U.S. play their opener against Wales on Monday, has been hugely controversial in its buildup, given Qatar's human rights record and attitude toward homosexuality. As recently as this month, a Qatar World Cup ambassador told a German TV broadcaster that homosexuality was, quote, damage to the mind, end quote, and it remains illegal to be gay in the conservative Muslim country. The world's largest online retailer, Amazon, will begin laying off 10,000 employees in corporate and technology roles beginning this week. That's according to a report from the New York Times. According to the report, the layoffs would be the largest in Amazon's history and would have a massive effect on the company's devices unit, including the voice assistant Alexa, as well as the retail division and the human resources department. About 3% of Amazon's corporate staff and less than 1% of its global workforce will be affected by this decision. The New York Times reported, quote, "The cuts will focus on Amazon's devices organization, including the voice assistant Alexa, as well as its retail division and in human resources. Amazon's planned retrenchment during the critical holiday shopping season, when the company typically has valued stability, shows how quickly the souring global economy has put pressure on it to trim businesses that have been overstaffed or under-delivering for years," end quote. In an interview with CNN, Amazon founder and executive chairman Jeff Bezos warned the U.S. recession is looming and advised consumers and businesses to stockpile cash in case there's a devastating downturn. Quote, "The economy does not look great right now," end quote. That's what he told CNN on Saturday, adding, quote, "Things are slowing down. You're seeing layoffs in many, many sectors of the economy," end quote. So here's a question. Why didn't Bezos make this announcement about a cratering economy a week earlier? This appears to have been a calculated move by Amazon to wait until after the midterm elections. We should expect many more such announcements in the days and weeks ahead. The Washington Times reports that a federal judge in Texas has ruled that the Biden regime cannot redefine sex-based discrimination in statutes to force doctors to perform gender transition procedures against their will. U.S. District Judge Matthew Kaczmarek ruled Friday that the administration exceeded the limit of the Affordable Care Act and Title IX by including sexual orientation and gender identity among the law's anti-discrimination protections. Quote, "Title IX's ordinary public meaning remains intact until changed by Congress or perhaps the Supreme Court," end quote. So wrote the Trump-appointed judge. Because civil rights law has not changed, the judge said the executive branch could not extend a 2020 Supreme Court ruling barring LGBT workplace discrimination to include Obamacare patients. Two doctors, well, they filed a class action lawsuit after the Department of Health and Human Services announced plans in May of 2021 to expand anti-discrimination protections in Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act to include sexual orientation and gender identity. America First Legal Foundation, founded by former Trump White House advisor Stephen Miller, has represented Dr. Susan Neese and James Hurley in their lawsuit against the administration's proposed Obamacare change. The Obama administration introduced rules in 2016 to expand the anti-discrimination section of Obamacare to include transgender protections. The Trump administration reversed those rules in 2020, but the Biden regime revived them. The Biden regime also has attempted to expand the definition of sex-based discrimination to let transgender athletes play on the sports teams of their choice, regardless of their sex at birth. A Republican commissioner on the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is investigating whether at least three companies are discriminating against pregnant employees who choose life for their unborn babies. Bloomberg Law reports several lawyers confirmed that EEOC Commissioner Andrea Lucas launched the investigation into companies that recently began offering to pay travel expenses for employees who want elective abortions. Dozens of major companies now offer abortion travel benefits in response to the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade in the case Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. The ruling means states may protect unborn babies from abortion again, and 14 have already done so. A long list of major corporations have been accused of pushing pregnant employees toward abortions by not offering similar benefits for those who choose life for their babies. A partial list of abortion funding and promoting companies includes, wait for it, Kroger, Target, Amazon, Dick's Sporting Goods, Disney, Lyft, and Hulu, Bank of America, Citigroup, Comcast, CVS, CNN, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Chase, Estee Lauder, Hewlett Packard, IKEA, MasterCard, Microsoft, PayPal, Procter & Gamble, Starbucks, Tesla, and many more. The EEOC Commissioner Lucas, a Republican on the five-member commission, said they cannot comment on ongoing investigations, but lawyers who saw the allegations told Bloomberg about it. And the report does not name the companies that Lucas is investigating. The investigation by Lucas may have been prompted by complaints from America First Legal. In July, the conservative law firm filed civil rights complaints accusing Dick's Sporting Goods and Lyft of discriminating against pregnant employees who choose life. The complaints accused both companies of violating the 1978 Pregnancy Discrimination Act by providing abortion travel reimbursements to pregnant employees but not offering similar benefits to employees who choose to parent. America First Legal Senior Counselor Reed Rubenstein said in a statement, quote, subsidizing travel for an abortion while denying an equivalent benefit to a mother welcoming a new baby is perverse and unlawful. Dick's management is an avatar for the rot and danger of corporate wokeness, end quote. We'll be right back after this break. Well, now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. Weeks after the fact, and again, waiting until after the very important midterm elections, the truth about Paul Pelosi's little incident inside the Pelosi mansion is beginning to leak out in the corporate media and in mainstream corporate media. A story from NBC Bay Area reports that a, quote, police body camera video that captured the attack on Paul Pelosi and the moments leading up to it contradict one of the details included in the Department of Justice's account of what happened that evening. That's according to a source familiar with the Pelosi investigation who personally viewed the body camera footage and spoke to the NBC Bay Area investigation unit, end quote. The report goes on to say that in recent days, the Department of Justice and the San Francisco District Attorney's Office have outlined, quote, different accounts, end quote, of who opened the door when police responded to Pelosi's 911 call. Watch this NBC report that purports to, quote, show new details, end quote, about what the body camera video actually captured as police arrived at Pelosi's San Francisco home.
All right, new information tonight on a story that we've been tracking, the attack on Paul Pelosi, the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Our investigative team looked into why state and federal prosecutors each describe one specific detail of the police response differently. You've got some answers, Begad.
Well, Jess, this all has to do with the moments, seconds, really, just before Paul Pelosi was struck in the head with a hammer inside his San Francisco home. Now, there continues to be contradicting accounts of a relatively simple question. Who opened the door that night when San Francisco police arrived to the Pelosi house? Now, the Department of Justice says the two officers opened the door. That's according to a federal indictment filed earlier this week. But the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, in another court document that was filed earlier this month, said Mr. Pelosi opened the door with his left hand. So, the question is, what really happened? According to a source familiar with the investigation, who personally watched the police body camera footage from that night, officers knocked on the door of the Pelosi home, then backed away. And the video clearly shows Paul Pelosi opened the door with his left hand, just like what was noted in the documents filed by the DA's office. Now, also as written in the DA docs, the source tells us the body cam video shows officers having a brief conversation with Pelosi and David DePap. That's the man accused of breaking into the Pelosi home, before DePap starts beating Pelosi with a hammer. We reached out to the Department of Justice for an explanation on its differing account of this seemingly innocuous issue of who opened the door, but so far we have not heard back. However, I did get to ask San Francisco DA Brooke Jenkins directly about another issue many people are wondering about earlier this week. based on her office's account of Paul Pelosi opening the door. The case has certainly garnered a fair share of conspiracy theories about what actually happened that night. As part of your investigation, are you able to shed any light as to why Paul Pelosi didn't run out of the house towards police officers when he was able to actually open the door for them when they arrived?
What I'm not able to do is to speculate or try to place my opinions on why someone acted the way they did in any case. All we have is what happened. Everybody reacts to situations differently, and he will one day need to explain, right, to potentially a jury why he did what he did and what thought process was going on in his mind. But certainly we know that all victims of crime respond very differently in the under the stress of the situation, and I don't think it's fair for us to place what we believe, Monday morning quarterbacking.
All right, Big Ed, I got to ask you this because, I mean, in the end, does it really even matter whether he opened the door or the guy opened the door or the police opened the door? I mean, how does that change the scenario if you move away just conspiracy theories?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is right now, Jess, we have no reason to believe that it matters at all. And that's why our source, who has seen the police body cam video, can't understand why federal investigators wrote that officers opened the door, because they say the video shows officers didn't. But when two police agencies give slightly different accounts of what happened in this kind of high-profile case like this one, it just...
Well, there you go. New information. They just want to, quote, clear it up, end quote, for us. But in the end, they say, what does it really matter anyway, right? As soon as the elections are in the bag for the Democrats, retaining control over the Senate, barely losing their majority in the House, we've now got new information. Truthful information, apparently, to clean up the lies and half-truths that were reported before the election. So, regardless of who opened the door, the story still revolves around poor Paul Pelosi, the victim. And they say they're worried about misinformation getting out to the public. Give me a break. No wonder these corporate media lapdogs are seeing their ratings plummet. The word is out. Their entire mission is apparently to feed us a steady diet of lies and to spin narratives, not to report the news, which is what we do here, which is why this broadcast has been picked up by numerous outlets. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. If you appreciate this broadcast, please share it with your friends and consider lending us your support. Here's how you can do that. You can go to MyPillow.com and please do a bunch of your Christmas shopping there. But it's vital that you use the promo code B66. That way, you get savings, we get credit. You get savings, we get credit when you use that promo code B66. You see, a generous portion of each purchase comes back to help keep this broadcast on the air. So thank you for your support while you get something great for your family and friends or yourself at MyPillow.com. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, sleepwear. There's so much there. MyPillow.com. Please use the promo code B66. You can also go to MyStore.com. That's the home for American entrepreneurs, started by Mike Lindell. Again, you can do a lot of shopping for Christmas there. But please use the promo code B66. You get savings, we get credit. You can also go to WVWFoundation.com. Please remember WVW Foundation in your end-of-the-year giving. This foundation exists to proclaim the truth of a Christian worldview, to put my radio shows and TV shows out there for free. I pay thousands of dollars a month on my website at WVWTV.com for bandwidth streaming, to give away free programming so people can understand the times through the lens of a Christian worldview. And as you know, on Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Central, I'm here doing a service every Sunday night, a biblical worldview service and class every Sunday night since 2015. If you appreciate all that I'm doing in regards to putting out the truth for people to understand the times, the lens of a Christian worldview, so they know how to think about the issues of the day and how God would have us to respond, thank you for supporting my foundation, WVWFoundation.com. You can also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. If you prefer to donate over the phone, you can call 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Thank you for doing that. And then finally, you can go to WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. You'll find a lot of resources there, including emergency freeze-dried food that has a 25-year shelf life. You'll find many of my books, Marxianity and Grave Influence, at my cost. After they were in, you know, several printings, I decided, let's just go to America.